Thank you, Mark. As given the opportunity here, and I appreciate to come up and kind of discuss with everyone the some of the challenges to implementing these fundamental changes in soil taxonomy. And I think we've already proven that the second word in my show here, or slide, basic system, we've kind of gone beyond that. But more importantly, in terms of the NRCS perspective on the use of soil taxonomy and what it is, it's a system of classification for making and interpreting soil surveys. And, you know, that is our mission. You know, that is one of the big things we do. So soil taxonomy supports the mission of the NRCS. Another one of the aspects of it, because we have been very good at it, it is extensively integrated into the sciences, the data systems, and even into public policy. So soil taxonomy is pervasive. It is very extensively used and integrated into our systems. It has evolved and developed along with the U.S. Soil Survey. It started off very simple, very basic, gathering basic information about which soils are suitable for cropping, which soils have to be protected from erosion and such. But it has grown that it is now is being used in all kinds of means and all kinds of places for those who interact with the soil. So we have been very successful in that respect. And throughout this whole time that we have had soil taxonomy, we, for the most part, use a very systematic process where amendments are made, you know, how we change it, how we expand it. We've been very successful at expanding it, as everyone is aware. In support of the NRCS mission, now basically the NRCS, as the leader of the Soil Survey Program in the U.S. on the government federal side, we have four responsibilities. That is to conduct an inventory of the soils of the U.S. that we've been doing for better than 100 years now. Interpret the soils for their uses. And, of course, those uses primarily are those for private farming, ranching, lumber, all those kinds of industries, including now urban development, civil engineering works, and such as that. We have a responsibility to publish the information and also to keep the information, promote its use, as well as to keep the information current. And that's where one of the big rubs comes in when we make significant changes in the structure of a system that we use. We have to keep the inventory current. The NRCS role specifically in our general manual states we establish and maintain standards for mapping, classification, correlation, and interpretation, and other aspects of the soil survey in conjunction with the NCSS partners. And that is a big task. In other words, we do all the paperwork, maintaining data systems, maintaining standards, maintaining text and other reference documents used in soil survey. The extensive integration is evidence of the success of our soil classification system. Soil taxonomy is a well-used system. It's included in, you see, a research publication dealing with natural resources. Quite often, if they have identified and worked with the soil, they're given the soil taxonomic classification. Many of the things that we have defined and classified in taxonomy, they become the standards that are used in other disciplines and of the industry. It's a widely adapted and accepted, of course, in the U.S., rather, but also a lot of international countries also use a lot of the standards that we have integrated into soil taxonomy. So you see, we're well integrated. We're being pretty significantly used around the world. It's cited as an authoritative technical reference, of course, and many of our state laws and local laws, regulations, and statutes have within them, especially when it deals with natural resources, have some reference to the taxonomic system, to some aspect, whether it be the family or great group of perhaps the African moist region, probably the one most used. So it has become pretty heavily integrated into state, local laws and statutes and such. And, of course, one of the things that we work very hard at is this information has been ingrained in the knowledge base of our people that work, that do the soil surveys, that interpret them, that work with people in the field.
they have an understanding of the soils and the soil classification system that we utilize today. One of the things that you should remember is the fact that no one working in one particular part of the country has to be faced with integrating and have complete knowledge of the whole of soil taxonomy. If you take and you can rip out about 70 pages, and you can probably work in any county or any region in the country, because you're not using the whole thing at once. So consequently, it may be big, it may be complex, it's huge, in fact. But the parts that you really need in your day-to-day life, you rip out about 70, maybe 100 pages of it, and you can work with that. So that's some of the challenges with integrating the fundamental changes will be in this. It's going to become personal with people. Yeah, taxonomy, it embodies our knowledge of the soil-forming factors and process. It communicates those properties and qualities important to the use of the soil. Because most of the people that we work with, we utilize soil taxonomy every day, but that's not our job to do soil taxonomy. The job is to create maps and interpret soils for uses for farming, ranching, urban uses, etc. So taxonomy is what we do as kind of a sideline to communicate that information to others who speak the same language. So making these fundamental changes is going to require a great deal of work. The process we've used historically with soil taxonomy is we update and expand, basically, the classes through numerous research investigations, conferences, international and national committees. The ICOM committees that we had 10 or 11 of them now over the last 35 years, I guess now or so. But the one thing I think everybody recognizes in the field, because it has grown because we have found something out there we want to stick in there because it fits our world if we can have another class, is the fact it has to remain flexible. So we can't just lock it down and make it totally inflexible, not change things, not add things, not remove things. It has to remain flexible, otherwise it dies. And I think everyone recognizes that. We have created the system within our National Soil Survey Handbook that addresses changes in soil taxonomy. Of course, the main considerations are it has to address questions about soil classification. So if you're going to propose an amendment, it needs to, of course, deal with soil classification. It needs to add value or clarity to soil taxonomy, and I think everyone wants that. We all know how complex it is and how difficult it is to use, especially in areas you're not familiar with. But we certainly want to keep it clear, and everything we do, it needs to add value, make it more useful, not less easy to use or make people just ignore it entirely. It is based upon measured or observable properties, of course. That's very critical to the concepts in soil taxonomy. We ask that any new recommendations fit the logical arrangement of things. We have certain things organized, properties or qualities at different levels where they're recognized in soil taxonomy, from the subgroup down to the subordinate down to family. The diagnostic criteria have to be clearly defined and specified. Sometimes, as we look, I think we showed the Malachi Papillon this morning, it gets a little bit tortuous at times. And so, there could be some better definition that occurs without a doubt that would help us along this route. And probably one of the most important things, at least from our perspective and NRCS, those doing the mapping, is we need to evaluate the impacts of the overall system. Because little changes have little impacts, big changes have enormous impacts. We have developed some systematic procedures for amending. A submission and a routing of the amendment, who it goes to, where it's found, and such as that. We have documentation requirements that must be submitted with any changes in soil taxonomy. We have review processes that have been defined, And then it goes through an approval and integration process that we have also spelled out. Fundamental changes are somewhat difficult to fit into this process because our existing process for the last 40 years plus, we have been in the process of splitting, creating additional taxa, taking something that's broadly defined and more narrowly defining it, splitting it in half and writing, developing new taxa, new definition, new diagnostic features. And that's what our system is designed for today. To evaluate and to look at some of these fundamental changes that's being done, you're not going to be submitting pet-on descriptions for those. You're not going to be submitting laboratory data or anything like that. So we're going to need to retool our system that we use to evaluate and to proposed changes in soil taxonomy. And so we're going to need to adapt our system and our concepts on how we want to do this. I think everyone, you know, who's working in the field recognizes the complexity of it and how there's this, everybody has one little part that they wish they could change because it would make their world a little better. These fundamental changes are very broad in many respects. And so that's going to be affecting a lot of people at one time, and they're going to say, well, they'll have some questions about that. This amendment process, this is what we do. It's very complex. It's kind of a web because we don't want to leave anybody out. We want to have everybody have a chance to provide input and not only to what they see as also to read what others have written or what others think about it. So we created kind of a complex web of how we would route proposals for change through the system. This was designed, again, primarily for those that split out and create new taxa. So the challenges to fundamental changes in soil taxonomy, the first one is probably our success. We were good at what we did. We got it integrated. We got it used. It becomes a little bit rigid, which is something that's kind of scary because once it becomes rigid, it loses that flexibility to change. And so occasionally maybe we do need to exercise it a little bit to break it a little bit apart and to reshape things so that we can keep it flexible and responsive to needs. The big thing that concerns many of us is these changes that I've seen, you know, discussed, they're likely to produce a huge workload. Any one of them produces a workload, but I know that the task force has several big issues that they would like to find some simplification and resolution on, and that just is, it all becomes additive. So you may have two or three groups working on it out, you know, on the task force, but when it comes down to the field, the guy who's out there classifying soils and mapping, he has a responsibility, or she has a responsibility for a portion of that data system that's going to have to be modified. Yeah, we'll have to catch up. No one's going to want to leave the data system that we use right now, our Sergo database and all the information we produced. They will not want to have the old taxonomic classes after the restructuring is completed. So someone's going to have to be the one to fit all these things, these changes in. Some of the other things we face that cost money, actually, is the reprogramming of some of our data systems and the tools that we use, the software tools, because many of those, software tools are used in the validation, the checking of the taxonomic classes that we have in our databases. They're used by our people in the field. There will be some impacts to state laws, regulations, and agricultural programs. It's not our job to fix them, but it is our job to notify. You know, we can't just make changes and let them just kind of float out there. We're going to have to have an effort that we would notify state legislatures and others of the changes that might impact. So that if they, next time they draw down soils information, they see taxa they're not familiar with, they need to be, it's an education process that we're going to have to engage in. One of the big things, you know, as I think about it, you know, the knowledge of the basic soil scientist out there in the field is going to be changed when it comes to soil taxonomy. They're going to have to learn or relearn a new system. It's not a new language per se, but it's a new syntax because, you know, some of the changes talked about is moving the moisture regime. And nothing will change except the order in which the words appear, but of course, that it echoes through about about three-fourths of all the taxa that we have, there would be a change in the moisture regime where it's located, would impact about two-thirds of all of our taxa. So it is a change in the language, primarily in the syntax of how we present it. I guess one of the big questions is, that you'll have to answer is, how is this better? Or maybe more accurately, how is this better for me? Because, soil taxonomy is a very personal thing. That's why we argue about it so much when we're down in the pit, because everybody has an opinion about what it is to them and what they're seeing. One thing's for sure, we've got to resolve these challenges. We've got to be able to meet not only the technical aspects of fundamental changes in soil taxonomy, getting the science right, getting it so it flows naturally, but also those who use soil taxonomy, those who do develop or work in soil taxonomy, are going to have to be convinced that that these changes that are being suggested are good for them also. So a proactive communication of the fundamental changes is essential. We need to include the scientists who are using soil taxonomy, other than just the soil mappers, of course, too. We're going to need some commitment by organizations and their leaders. We're going to suffer in NRCS huge workload. So it's not only time, but also we're going to have to expend money in order to reprogram some of the tools and the data systems that we use that house information relative to soil taxonomy with some of these fundamental changes. And, of course, in the end of the day, we need to demonstrate the advantages, that the benefits that we'll realize with fundamental changes are worth the workload and the investment we have to make, that it improves the communication that soil taxonomy provides for us relative to the use and management of soil. It needs to simplify the soil classification processes and the requirements to perform soil classification. And finally, the most important thing is these benefits have to be realized at the very local level where they're going to impact the most people. The soil survey, the field offices that we have doing conservation planning, and individual users.
Thanks, Ken.